Good morning, church. Maybe some of you come this morning feeling like this picture I have up here. Thankful for the church here. Think of so many good memories with folks from Henderson. Went to 545 here when I was in school. I went to Brigance just right over here. They tore it down, but I've got a lot of good memories. My roommate is right back there, Dr. Collins. I room with a couple doctors. I was thinking about it. Dr. Dye, Dr. Collins, and here you have me this morning. Now, I go to a doctor every once in a while, but I try not to. And it's intimidating to be here, I'll be honest with you. There's way too many people in here that know more about the Word than me, and I'm a little bit intimidated, so here goes. I am thankful to be here. I think about singing at camp with the kids from Henderson. You know, when I think about Henderson kids, y'all just train up a bunch of, like, cross-country people. You know, I remember being at camp and waking up somehow, like, really early, and, like, these kids are running when they wake up. I guess that's how you get skinny, you know. When I think about this church, I think of a lot of good people, and I'm thankful to be here today with you. And the things that I'm sharing, youth focus, and emphasis on our young people, I hope it's something we can all take something from. I'll have to admit, I am very emotional, so as I get through this, they tell me COVID makes you that way. I keep blaming stuff on COVID. They also say when you get older, you get more emotional. I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, we're in trouble if that happens. But I'm here this morning, and I want to tell you young people, this has nothing to do with my lesson, okay? Say this. Said it in Bible class. I'll say it again. Date somebody who loves the Lord, who will pray with you. Amen. My wife is up here on the third row. She was hiding earlier, but she's up here. And I am so thankful to have married a godly wife who loves the Lord. And if you think about, you know, a true successful life really is what our prayer was about this morning, is about living a life and going to heaven and taking people there with you. And my wife helps me in that way. We pulled up here this morning, and she prayed for me. Be honest with you, I didn't always date someone who was going to pray for me today. I'm thankful for her. Young people, marry a Christian. Don't settle in that way at all. COVID has been hard, and I know people are probably tired of that word, tired of talking about it, but from a minister standpoint, you know, as we talk about just not feeling it, that idea of where we are in the church and some of the struggles, I want to talk about that this morning. So many people have said that to me at church. You know, I don't know that we're the same, or, you know, whatever it may be. We've talked about a lot of things, but a lot of folks have said something along those lines of, you know what, I am just not feeling it. I don't want to come. I don't feel like being there. Maybe you've been there before. I'm about to be, like, blatantly honest. I would say don't tell my elders at Savannah, but I've already preached this here, and I said the very same thing. So here goes. Can I be honest? I'm going to be honest. All right. I don't always feel like going to church. You ever been there? Sometimes it's such a struggle just to get to church. And I think we need to tell people we're going to worship and not going to church, because we are the church, right? But I don't always feel like it. And so I've heard that. I've felt this. You know, I'm an emotional person for sure, but I've heard this word over and over and over again over the last little bit, and I just thought it would be fitting to talk about today for the church, for young people, for me, for all of us to consider our feelings and what that means and what faithfulness looks like. So many people have said this time and time again. You know what, Dustin, I'm just not feeling it, man. Have you said that? Have you felt that? I have. I'm going to talk today about people in my life that really made a lasting impact from a young age as we think about today, our young people. But I want you to think about this. Maybe you've seen this picture before. This young man's name, Michael Clark Jr. This picture was taken in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This young man is a kindergartner. This is, I think, about a year or so ago. I just saw it during COVID and cried about it like normal. This young man was being adopted by, these are his adopted parents right here. They're in the courtroom. He invited his entire kindergarten class to come. Maybe some of y'all have seen it. and they showed up. Isn't that cool? And they all shared, the judge made them all share what they loved about Michael. I love this because it's connected to our prayer this morning. It takes a village for the people who have spent time at camp sleeping. There ain't no Tempur-Pedic mattresses at Maywood. I've been there, right? People who go to camp and spend their week cooking and cleaning. Adam Cross back there, he filled up 800 gallons of drinks this year. I mean, I think about so many different people at camp and what that means. And when I think about my life and the idea that maybe when I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to kind of take a break spiritually, I think about this picture. I think about the people who were faithful in my life. One of them is a single mom that raised me and my brother. I know that my mom had bad days. I know that she had days that she could say, like, you know what, I just want to give up. I'm just not feeling it, you know? Things aren't going my way. My mom never complained. She did everything on her own. And I got to see faithfulness through a single mom. Maybe you're here today in that same place, single parent, struggling family, whatever it may be. Do not give up. Do not give up. I want to challenge you with that. The same way that his friends were there supporting him, my whole life I've had a church support me. A youth minister, Chuck Morris, that came into my life at just a perfect time when I was struggling. Chuck went to almost every one of my high school basketball games because he loved me. Spent time with me. Slept in a tent with that guy in Panama, Central America. Thought about my life. If you know him, he's probably hugged half of y'all in here, right? He's hugged me my whole life. And I know he had days where he wasn't feeling it. Could have gave up. Same way my mom could have gave up. Think about my grandparents. They live in Corinth, Mississippi. Went to Winnesoga Church of Christ. Some of y'all are familiar with that area. My granddad never taught a Bible class. Quoted some of the Bible this morning in here in class. If you started anywhere in the New Testament and you started reading, he could finish the chapter. Never taught a Bible class. That's another conversation, but let me tell you something he did for me. When he didn't know I was looking, I watched his faithfulness. I watched him reading his Bible. It wasn't just for to put his coffee on. He read it, and I watched him live it. And I never was able to tell him that. But those people that stood in my corner, maybe this morning you're thinking about the people that were in your corner. If you were raised in the church and someone taught you the Bible, your prayer life should look different than anyone else's. Your gratefulness should be different than anyone else's. We went on a mission trip this summer to Chattanooga. And you asked just simple Bible questions. We did the Good Samaritan, which we're going to read about in a minute. They've never heard that. I grew up hearing that story. But more importantly than that, I grew up seeing that lived out through my family. Maybe you did too. Who has been in your corner? I want everyone to do this with me. Please get your phone out. It's going to be interactive, I hope. Get your phone out. Most people say, put your phones up. I'm telling you, get your phone out. And I said this in Bible class. I hope these folks, because I know for us, just like in my story, maybe not everyone in your story is still here with us. But if you had someone in your life that supported you, that always had your back, I want you to message them right now. My mom sat here at Savannah and I cried because I was sitting there looking at it and I was thinking about all the hard times that she had as a single mother. She never quit. She took me and my brother to church. I know when she worked all day and she was tired. I saw her live out the things that I'm trying to teach young people today. Who did that for you? Message them. Tell them thank you. We live in a world where I think we wait sometimes too long until someone's gone and we sit around and circle around and we talk about them. Maybe that person for you is not alive. And I want you to also think, you know, as we think about the word discipleship, like who right now are you influencing in that way? And that's not why you do the right things, but there's definitely a side of that as we think about. All of our lives have been impacted. Maybe it was a coach, a teacher, a Bible class teacher that we talked about this morning, a friend, somebody who you could always talk to. My life is different because of people who were faithful, even when they felt that same way. You know what? I don't feel like it. All the feels. I'm going to go down this road. I want to talk about this. I'm thankful that this was read, but as we talk about it, maybe you're emotional like me. Just watched Top Gun with some folks from church, and that Maverick Goose moment got me, and I'm sitting there crying, and I'm the only dude in there crying, okay? I'm like, man, this is a problem, right? I am so emotional, so it's hard for me to say, but we live in a world that is very emotional. Sometimes we are completely led around by our emotions. I have to be careful because I can do that just the same. But as we think about that idea of I'm not feeling it, what we need to understand is that there's so many things that we feel that aren't right. If you think about what the Bible says about that, I'm going to run through just a few right here. But, you know, as it was read early in Proverbs 3, I love that text. Most of you probably know it by heart. It says, lean not on your own understanding. That kind of leaves that idea of like, you know what? I just don't want to go today. I'm not feeling it. COVID has exposed the priorities of all of our churches, hasn't it? We stayed at home. Maybe we got lazy servant in a servant-minded way. I don't know if that happened here. I know it has for us. I bet it has. All the feels. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful. Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Proverbs 14, the path that seems right. The Bible tells us that the end is death. But some of us completely follow around our emotions all the time. Emotion is important, but it's not everything. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because I think our emotion should be absolutely in our worship, in our singing, in our life. You know what I mean? I think it should be. When you see the Shema, when you see that ask, Jesus has asked multiple times, what is the greatest commandment? You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and not have your emotion in it. So I'm not saying to be emotionless, but I'm saying we've got to be careful that we're not just saying, you know what, I just don't feel like being here. Well, so what? Your feelings are wrong. And the Bible tells us that we don't need to lean on our understanding. We need to trust Him. I see it all the time, man. God wants me to be happy. And God wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be holy. And following my emotions, for me, so many times, it kind of gets me in trouble. I want to look at in the Gospel of Luke, starting in Luke 17 this morning. We're going to look at this. I love that face. Somebody asked if that was a picture of me. It's not, but I'm sure I made that face at some point. We're going to look at three different examples this morning in the Gospel of Luke, of examples of just maybe people, circumstances of people that just were not feeling it. Some of y'all started texting somebody and you're already playing Wordle on your phone. Get off that, all right? The 10 lepers, Luke 17, I want to read this. Now, you all know this. Whenever COVID started, it was a big deal, right? We started learning new words. Quarantine, social distancing, it got weird. Everyone wore masks. Everyone fought about this. It got political. It made a circle. The church, we tried to figure out, you know, we're just backpedaling, trying to figure it out, right? We just need to love each other in that. But if you think about this idea of these 10 lepers, I want to read this and I want to talk about it. But if you know what it's like if you've had COVID and people have been like, who you been around? You know, people start interrogating you, right? These folks had something that was way worse and it was incurable. 10 of them were healed. Look what happens right here. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When they saw him, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are all the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now, we could get into the text right here and go a lot of different directions with this. But what I want to talk about in this text right now is that 10 were healed and one came back. You know, as we think connected to the lesson, 9 of them just weren't feeling gratefulness, maybe. Maybe they had somewhere else to be, somewhere else to go. Think about being cured of something that, like, if you read the text, they were screaming from a long way out because they were unclean. They had to stay away from everyone, right? What happened to the other nine? Are they here this morning? Maybe. Maybe one of them speaking to you. I mean, maybe for all of us, there's times where we are ungrateful. God has given me so much. And sometimes, like, it's so easy because we live in a world where we, like I said this morning, we can get on social media, click a few times, and already see something. Our girls in the youth group already are, like, have something in a cart, some kind of Lululemon situation they want to buy or whatever. They're already shopping, right? We can shop. We don't have to go anywhere. They'll send it to you. And if you get enough of it, they won't charge you for sending it to you, right? We want more. We want more. We want more. And I think sometimes we forget to just close our eyes and humble our hearts and kneel down and just say, Jesus, thank you for what you did to me. I've got a sin problem, and so do you, and the Lord has healed that. People who come in contact with us on the everyday, they should know that. They should see that lived out and modeled. And sometimes they don't, because maybe we're ungrateful. Maybe we're just not feeling what the Lord did to us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Turn back just a few pages. Everyone knows this story. I want to talk about it for a second. Luke 10. They acted this story out in a couple different places in the world. Don't speak fluent English, much less Spanish, okay? But I've been to places where it's not hard. When you get to the end of this story and Jesus says, which one was a neighbor to this man? In any language it translates, I promise you. Just went to the inner city Chattanooga and did this. We just did this at our Bible school. You act out this story, and we don't have to read through it. All of you have heard this story before. There was a man who was hurt, and he needed help, and they left him there to die. And Jesus tells us this story. We know why. Because sometimes religious folks, they miss it. I think we can get so used to maybe even reading our Bibles or reciting the Bible or going to Bible class that we forget sometimes that there's a world around us that is lost. And maybe someone in your life, someone at your work, someone in your family is laying there and spiritually they are dead. And we're just walking right by them. The priest and the Levite in this story in Luke 10 apparently were not feeling it. How about us today? Can we get too busy? I think if the Lord had lunch with me this week, I know He would say this. Dustin, you got to slow down. Psalm 46:10, for my life, be still and know that I am God, can't happen because I'm too distracted. If you hear me talk very long, you'll hear A-D-D-D-D-D-D, right? I mean, my mind is 200 miles an hour. It's always going. Sometimes I think we are too busy to be a Christian, a good one. We've got somewhere to be, somewhere to go. Someone needs me. And I think sometimes we can get even actively involved in doing the good things that we forget the greatest things. And that Samaritan shows us in this story. It's your time. It's your money. It's your heart. Young people, as you go back to school, you're going to see someone that needs the Lord. You're going to see someone that's sitting by himself at lunch. You're going to see someone that is hurting. The question is, what will you do about it? What will we do about it as a church? Luke 22, the third place we're going to look this morning. Thank you, Cade. Cade read it for us. Luke 22. As I'm talking, I want you to be thinking about the times in your life where you're guilty. You're the Levite. You're the priest. You're the nine. I am so thankful. Praise be to God. That He works differently, that He loves differently, that he put faithful people in my life, that even when I was immature or insecure or struggling or whatever, people supported me. I'm thankful for this church, and I know you do that for your young people. Luke 22, we get to see Jesus. I'll read it again. We get to see Jesus really in His darkest, lowest moment. We know He wasn't feeling it, and we know that He knew it was coming. And the only explanation for what we're fixing to read is found in John 3:16, isn't it? Love is the only thing that makes sense out of what's fixing to happen at Calvary. And we all know the story. We've heard it. They made a movie about it, didn't they? I'm thankful. It's hard to watch. I remember watching The Passion of the Christ. The first time I watched it, like, Jesus did that for me. Christ died for me. And what is my response? I love this text right here. Start reading in verse 39 again. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching that place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." I think the answer to what we're talking about today is found in that phrase, "Not my will, but yours, Lord." I'm a selfish person. Maybe you are too. When we have our time off, we want to do what we want to do. I'm so thankful for the humility, for the servant that we see in the Lord right here in this place. At his worst moment, he says, "God, it's what you want." And I've sat back and heard so many folks in the church. I know myself. I felt like, you know what? I just don't know if I want to go to that. I'm just not feeling it. I don't know it. I am so thankful that the Lord didn't say, "You know what? I'm not feeling it. Not today." It didn't work that way. And we're called to be an ambassador for him, a spokesperson for him. We're called to be like him, to be his light. And it doesn't happen when we have that mentality of, I'm just not feeling it, so I'm not going to do it. Your life was changed, and my life was changed by people who showed up with simple acts of faithfulness. Nothing cool enough to make a TikTok video about, okay? But I'm talking about something like I told you. I watched my granddad reading his Bible. What will your grandkids see? What will your kids see? As we talked about this morning, what will you know? What will you pass on to your kids? Jesus said, "Not what I want, God, but what you want." I think that's the answer to everything that we're talking about as we close out right here thinking about this whole idea of, "I'm not feeling this. I'm not going. This is going to cost me too much." You know, the Good Samaritan could have said so many different things. Nope. May get hurt. May get robbed. It's going to cost me money. May mess up my khakis. I mean, whatever. Could say whatever you want to say. Instead of that, I think for us, we need to say, "Not my will, but yours be done." And what areas in our life is that kind of the line that we say, "No, I'm out. It's going to cost too much. It's going to hurt too much." In Luke 22, it hurt and it hurt and it took everything that he had. And Jesus came and he was mocked and he bled and he gave us everything. So for us, as we kind of close down, I want you to think about this. It's not about you. When we go on youth trips, there's some folks that have been with us. Amanda Cunningham knows what I'm fixing to say. We say, "It's not about me." So repeat after me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about God. Now we say that, and 5 minutes down the road, we'll be fighting, okay? All right? We're capable, but that's just our focus. It's like today, it is not about me. It is not about you and God. And when I hear that and when I feel that, I'm just not feeling it, I'm not going today, I'm reversing that of saying, "God, it's not about what you want, because I don't want to be there, and I don't want to do this." When I preached this at Savannah, I couldn't hardly look at my mom. I couldn't stop crying because I got to see and live those moments where she never gave up on me. And I'm able right now, every Wednesday, I'm picking kids up, I'm driving them, my life, I'm trying to do my best, I'm trying to make an impact. But I never would have been there if those people in my life would have said, "You know what? I'm not feeling it. I'm out." Church, we can't do that. If you're here today and you're a single parent, you're struggling, you've got emotional, whatever you've got going on, you're struggling, whatever way, be faithful because someone is watching you. Someone needs your faithfulness right now. You never know. You never know what your child may become, what they're going to do, who they're going to share the gospel with. We get to see in Luke 19:10 the mission of Jesus, right? He came to seek and save the lost. Now, what about us? I can't say that if I'm saying I'm not feeling it. It doesn't work that way. So as we shut down here, I want us just be reminded that it's not about us. We make it that way, and we live in a world that operates that way. But a true Christian is a selfless person. A true Christian says, whatever you want. And so that's what's so difficult, I guess, about living in this world with folks that don't know Him. We need to be shining our light. We need to be living these things. So my question is, are you? Maybe you're a Bible class teacher, a young person that's struggling for purpose, an older person that's struggling with what job does God have for me? Sometimes we retire in the church. We retire with our job and we retire in the church. We say, no, it's someone else's job. That doesn't sound like a servant-hearted faithfulness to me. That's not the sound of it. One of my best friends talked about him in the Bible class this morning. He's the guy you call. There's a man that we've got to pick up and we've got to take to. A lot of folks go to Jackson, so you got an hour and 20 minutes from Savannah, hour 15, depending on how fast you drive. He's got to be there at 5 a.m. at the hospital. Who in this church will do that job? Who will do what no one else will do? There's a lot of folks I knew, I'm like, I don't know if they'll do it. Roy Davidson will. I called him. He went, yeah, I'll do it. I'm so thankful for him in my life. He's shown up. He continues to do it. Now, what about us, church? As we go out this week, how will we take this lesson? How will we live it? Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you think the church should move in this direction or do this or do that. But what about us all looking in the mirror and thinking, if every Christian was exactly like me, would we grow? If every Christian had your prayer life, like we talked about this morning, what would that look like? If every person in this church was as inclusive as you, welcomed visitors as much as you did, every young person loved the way you did, prayed the way you did, what would the church look like? We should live in a way that where we're not perfect. We're saying, if you want to be like Christ, Paul said it multiple times, follow me as I follow him. And that's my prayer today for us as we think about closing this out. If you feel that way, maybe you're here today and you're struggling. You've been trying to do things on your own for too long. I hope so many of you reached out to someone and think about those people that were in your life, maybe when no one else was, and you let them know. And I also pray as a church that you will be people, as we prayed about, that invest in the next generation, that love young people. You don't have to be on TikTok with them, right? Maybe you are. Love them. Talk to them. Take them to lunch. Ask them. Pray for them. Know their name. I know that y'all are working on that. The question is, what will you do this week? Maybe you're here, you've never begun your walk, or you have. I pray that if you're here today and you've been in a place where you're not feeling it, even if you don't publicly respond, that you will be convicted to make those changes. I pray that we all will. Whatever your need may be, I pray as you come as we stand and sing together.